Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
Okay, so I had to write this communion talk down. Normally I would wing it, like a last minute Nancy, but I totally just pretend that I know how to do grand speeches at a moment's notice, and then I get up here and I tremble in fear as I realise public speaking is quite terrifying, especially when you're talking about yourself or your experiences. So kudos to all you preachers and teachers out there. I see you. But there is a more serious reason I wrote this one down. I didn't want to be a crying mess, having not gotten the message I wanted to convey across. This week has absolutely floored me. I have been watching the media, journalists and civilians alike, telling their parts of the devastation happening in the Middle East right now. Some videos may well not show the truth of the reality of what is happening out there, but one thing is for certain, people are dying. Mums, dads, cousins, uncles, aunties, grandparents, the young, the old, babies. I've cried far too many tears this week. War hurts. It hurts the sick, the dying, the families, the friends, the guilty, and the innocent. It hurts me. It hurts to see people losing their loved ones. It hurts to know I can't physically do much to change what's happening out there right now. But the few have hurt the many. I learned a bit more about the history of the Middle East this week. I learned a bit more about the history of biblical times, and I started to wonder how these times now might be read about years from now. My hope is that there will be a time and place where we can build a bigger table, just like the communion one we'll share in today. One where everyone is welcome. Mums, dads, cousins, uncles, aunties, grandparents, the young, the old, babies. One where anger and fear are met by love, compassion, and forgiveness. One where we can comfort each other, laugh together, and eat until we are so full. One where there are people that don't talk like us, look like us, act like us, and maybe even don't like us. But we love, regardless, because they are welcome to the Lord's table, just like us.
Hello, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm Kelly. I'm one of the team here, and I'm going to... Had a bit of a full morning already, haven't we? So I'm just going to talk about this one little thought I've got. In some respects, you know, that song we just sang kind of says what I was thinking about. Can we just throw up those words again, Steve? Because I don't know about you, but when I hear that, even the words that we say through that, there's this kind of concept of gratitude, incredible gratitude to God. And I think it went 100 billion times, you know, and it's this idea that 100 billion galaxies are born, the vapor of a breath, the planets form, the stars are made to worship, so will I. And there's this idea that God is continually reaching out to us, isn't it? Continually forgiving, continually giving, continually sharing. And there we are, going about our business, like, where is he and who? I don't know about you, but most of the times I'm reaching out to God when I'm in need. Is anyone else just in that position? When I'm in need, I am like, God, you are right there in the middle of my trouble. And when I'm not, I'm kind of wandering around just hoping that you're with me. I'm getting better in life at practicing the presence of God in my life. I'm definitely getting better. But I think that tendency to just to look to God when we're in struggles and to not recognise he's already given so much. It's beautiful to have the baptism today, because essentially that's what you're saying. You're saying, God, I just see you at work in my life. I see you at work in history. I believe in you. And from this day forward, what I want to do is live a life with you in my everyday. You know, at Christmas, this time of the year, it's one of those times when we do look at remembering and giving and sharing. And I have grandchildren. And I have a grandson, Oscar, who is 5, and a granddaughter, Daisy, who is 3. And right now they're writing a Christmas list. Well, Daisy's scratching things on a piece of paper and presenting them to me as a list. But Oscar's actually, he's 5, he can actually write now And he's so proud as he's developing this Christmas list. And he produces this Christmas list to me with, you know, I don't know, I guess it was a tip on some ideas for him. And it made me think about when I was a mum and I had kids and, you know, I just loved having things for them for Christmas. I loved it. I'm not a big... Is there any kids in here? Better be a bit careful. Okay. I'm not a big tree and person. Is anyone else a big tree person? I've got these people who like put up the tree a certain date every year. Have we got any of those? Oh, yes, they're alive and well. Who's not one of those? I'll be lucky to get, you know, a piece of string over something at some point. That's me. I'm also not big on the Christmas lunch. Is anyone else... Is anyone else with me on that? Yep, no, that's not me. I used to say to my friends, my big tip for Christmas lunch is go to Red Rooster and ask them to cut it into eights. That's my big tip. So truly, that's all that happens at my house. You will... So it's like, that's my... That's all I got. That's all I got for you for Christmas tips on lunches. And... But I do love the gift side of things. I love it. I just love it. I love looking for the thing that's going to be really special for someone. It kind of gives me a lot of joy. And I remember, who doesn't care about that? There's a whole lot of people. But that's something that just gives me really a lot of joy, to buy something that I know someone's going to love. And, you know, I remember a day... when my kids were little, and it was around the 2000s, we had no money. We had nothing. And I was thinking, Christmas is coming up. I've only got like about 6-8 weeks to Christmas, and I've got truly pretty much nothing. And when I was a girl, when I grew up, my parents had that happen a few times. I remember getting a bike one year, but it didn't have any pedals on it. It had this, what is it called, spigot or... I don't know what it is, the thing that comes out, but no pedal on it. So you had to wear my shoes when I was riding it. But I was still riding around the street like I was the queen. You know what I mean? Now I think about it, no pedals, and I was riding it. And Dad had spray painted it. And I remember he put a transfer of a ballerina on it. I thought I was like fabulous. And I thought, you know what? So many times when you're a kid, you don't care, do you? As long as your parents love it and they love you. So I thought, I'm going to go and hit all the garage sales. I went to garage sales all over Perth. I had a budget of like $80 per child. And I just bought them all these, like, I bought them little trains and train tracks and cars. And I bought one thing for new, and that was for my older son. I bought him a T-shirt. And it was Rip Curl or something. And it was red. He still talks about that T-shirt. He goes, oh, Mum, love that T-shirt. I bought that in some bargain bin, you know. I was just so touched, I sometimes think, that we give something that we think is not great, it can still have this profound impact, right? Because it's still giving it with this idea of, I just want to share everything I've got. You know, it's very, when one of those three sons who was 8 years old, he's now 27, one Christmas when he was 8, he came to Chizzy and I and he said, I want to ask you a question. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, ask us, you know. He said, is Father Christmas real? That's why I was asking if any kids are in here, because, you know, if you're any big kids who don't know, close your ears. But... He said, and we said, of course he's real. If you don't believe he's real, I'm sorry about parents don't agree with this philosophy, but this is mine and I'm sticking with it. And he said, of course he's real. If you don't believe it, then nothing's coming for you this Christmas, you know. They're looking, oh yeah, a little bit of manipulation goes a long way. But I just said, oh, you know, anyway, he's like, no, is Father Christmas real? I thought, I'm still not falling for it. Of course he's real. Don't be ridiculous. Who do you think eats the food every night or whatever it was? Then he looks at me and he goes, Mum, Dad, I'm asking you, is Father Christmas real? I thought, oh, we've obviously reached the end of the line. And we said, no, he's not. At this point, he burst into tears. He's sobbing. I'm thinking, oh no, this was a bad move, right? And then he says, thank you. Thank you for all those presents. Thank you, I know it was you. Thank you for those times you gave me these gifts. He starts reeling out all the gifts we had given him at Christmas. And he was sobbing his little heart out. He said, I'm just so glad it came from you, because I always knew you knew what I wanted. He's a bit of an old soul, my 27-year-old. But on that day, I was just so touched with this idea that when we give, and we give freely, that other person is actually incredibly impacted by it. They're incredibly impacted. That when we share, and at this time of the year, we do it like never before, don't you think? Like we have a spirit of generosity on the whole that sometimes we do not have at any other parts of the year. And it comes front and centre, this idea, can you give freely? Can you give freely with no strings attached? And you know, the fact is that this is the central message of Scripture. This is the message of Scripture. The idea that when we've been given so much, can you freely give away whatever you've got? You know, the picture of God, that this is what he was like with us. And I don't think anything captures that for me like Matthew 17. Luke 17. What's that story? Come on, what's the story of the New Testament which tells us what God is like with us? The prodigal son. The prodigal son. The prodigal son that says there was a man who had a son. And that son lived in his house and he enjoyed all the fruits of that house. And one day he comes to his dad and he says, Dad, I want everything you've earned for me and you've saved up, I want it now. And the dad says, it's not a great idea. You're going to waste it. And the son says, but I want it. And the son gives it to him and he goes out and he squanders it. And the son has this picture in his head which says, that's it. Now if I return to my dad, I'm going to have to go and live with the pigs and eat whatever they have. But the best scene, Luke 17, read it to your kids this Christmas, because the best scene is when the dad is standing on the veranda and he looks down and he sees the son coming up the path. And the picture is that the son says, that the son's kind of coming up, they're obviously shamefaced, but the father runs to him. He runs to him. He runs to him and he puts the cloak on him and he puts a ring on his finger and he says, I'm going to have a feast. And everything is going to be celebrated because who he has lost has now come home. You know, this is the picture of what God is like for you and me. He's not a God of stinginess. He's not a God of you better earn your way back because you've done too much wrong. He's not a God of, well, you'll remain a second classer because you didn't quite measure up. He's the God who sees you at the end of the road. And he absolutely runs towards you. But then the second part of this for me is what Jesus says to you and I. Because in Matthew, let me just, 10. Matthew 10, oh golly, got to get it up on my screen here. This screen business, too hard. Matthew 10 says this. Jesus sent out, this is Jesus sending out you and me, right? He sends out the disciples, he's instructing them and he says, don't go to the Gentiles. I really love this in a way because he's just, who is getting them to speak to have this attitude? And don't go into the city of the Samaritans, but go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you are going, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, expel demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not procure gold or silver or copper for your belts. Don't take a traveller's bag or two tunics. just go and give freely. I think this season we're called to do those two things. To look back on the God who says, I see you at the end of the road and I am running towards you. No strings attached. And then God who says, because that's the way you have received, can you just give freely to the person who comes beside you and after you? Look, I know at this season I'm talking of this beautiful picture of families and gift giving, and maybe we all imagine we're under the tree and it's looking beautiful, and that's not going to be everyone's experience. Maybe not everyone in this room. Some people are going to, there's people who are sick and there's people who are estranged and there's people who have just moved for work reasons and there's people who have lost. There's people who are not financial. There's people who are struggling. But here's the message. Whatever you give and you've got in your hand, can you share that? Can you give joy? Can you share peace? Can you forgive? Can you accept? Can you just share this beautiful sense of kindness at this part of the year? And like never before, practice the very thing that Christ has called us all to, right? Freely we've received, freely give. And we're going to take the communion. I think it's probably the ultimate expression, isn't it, of this message, that we come up and we take a communion. We take the bread, we take the cup. His body, his blood poured out for us as a gift that we get to share with him and we get to share with others. We do this beautiful thing. I love this thing at West City because it's almost like a physical thing. Well, it is a physical thing, but it's like a metaphor where we stand up, we walk to the front. We'll take a piece of this bread, break it off. There's a wine or there's pretend wine. There's a cracker if you're gluten-free. We cater for everyone here. But the whole idea is you get up and you walk and you take it. And I ask you to say to yourself, freely I have received. Freely I'll give. And I reckon if we build that not just into our head, but into our heart, into our very being, life will change for all of us. I want to live like that. And it's possible because we have this amazingly generous God who not only said it, but did it. Gave his son, gave his life, that we may live whole.
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice. Go out and end oppression. Go out and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.